morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning, and I hope everybody is doing well. Do we have any announcements this morning? No? Not one announcement? I think that's a record.
Karen, I do. Sorry.
Yeah, if you'll notice, there is a little section about we still need volunteers with CE. The one we need soonest is a middle school teacher. So if you're interested in that, let us know. There's several others. If you have said you're interested in helping us and we haven't gotten back to you, we're not ignoring you. We've just got a lot going on and we're trying to get organized with. The other thing is, if you have a graduate, high school or college in your family who's graduating this spring or has graduated within the last year, just put a, Teresa, is this okay to put a card in the offering plate to let us know so we can recognize our graduates within the last year?
Thank you.
And also, I don't know if you mentioned, but we're still looking for a vacation Bible school director.
Yeah.
So if we have a possible date, but if there's someone that can feel so led to carry out that ministry,
yeah, we're going
to need somebody to step up and be the director of that. So be praying about that. Thank you.
And that is in your bulletin, some information about those things.
Karen, I'll
take
last coffee hour for the semester was last night, and it was great discussion. The coffee house will resume in August and will be the last Saturday of every month. So if you haven't come, please make a point to come and be supportive of this evangelistic outreach. Bring friends, both church and unchurch. And it's a good opportunity just to gather and discuss and fellowship.
Any other announcements? If not, let's pause for a moment to prepare our hearts and our minds for worshiping the Lord as we light the candles. Amen. Do we have any prayer requests or praise? Yes, Deborah.
Okay. I'd like to thank everybody for the community prayers for my mom. It tells in the bulletin what happened. Well, not what happened, but her face was. So, but I think she's doing pretty good. She's in rehab over in a new place over in Antioch, and seems to be doing good, and I think Jonathan and Jane can tell you that she looks a whole lot better when they met her a week ago.
I'd like to thank everyone that gave me my happy birthday. My happy April
God. Holy Father, we give you praise and glory. Father, we've come to this place today to worship you, and Lord, you are so worthy. And Father, we are in so need of your grace and your mercy. So we humbly bow ourselves before you today, And Lord, our desire will be to lift you in song, to lift you in the spoken word, and Father, in the delivering of the message. And we ask, Lord, that our hearts would just be open. And Father, that you would fill our mouths with praise and with truth. And Lord God, we give you the praise and the glory. Father, for everyone that's on our prayer list this morning, we want to remember them in prayer. We lift them up. We ask, Lord, that you continue to bring forth healing. And Lord, for Deborah's mother, we thank you for her. And just ask that you continue to bring that healing process to completion in a timely manner, that she'd be able to go back home and enjoy her life at home, Father. And for many of these others that are going through difficult times and times of loss and struggle, Lord, we ask that you would uphold them by your mighty power. Minister to them in the midst of their circumstances, and use us to gather around them and bring an encouraging word and a hand of help and hope. And use others that you would place in their lives to encourage them. And we give you praise and glory for all these things. And we look to you today. And Father, we call on your name. We call on your name in faith. And Father, we come with expectant hearts, believing that you want to do good things and accomplish good things in our life today. For all these things, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Now help us to pray the prayer that you have taught us as your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'll please stand for a call to worship. If it had not been God, who was on our side?
The troubles of our world would have swallowed us whole.
If it had not been God, who was on our side?
The sorrows of our times would have swept us away.
Are any among us suffering?
Unafraid.
Are any among us cheerful?
Come sing songs of praise.
Jesus is on our side.
Come and rejoice.
Jesus, he came to love, he led.
Confession. Heavenly Father, you create us and you rescue us. Be here with us now. Help us know how much we need you. Teach us that no other power can support us like your power. And as you share your power with us, teach us to be Christ-like to the world, proclaiming your reign for all people. Help us receive your love and offer it to the world. In Jesus' name. Now, a prayer of confession in silence. Our words of assurance. God turns our sorrow into gladness and our times of mourning into celebration. God hears the prayers of faith. Be confident as we pray for one another, for God heals us and forgives us.
Are you garments, spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood?
It's the blood in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. Are you garbed, spotless, sobbing, white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
It's the blood in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. Are you garbed, spotless, sobbing, white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Some glad morning, when this life is over, I fly away to a home of God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
I'll fly away. Glory,
one another in truth and action. May our gifts reflect our trust in the Lord's care. May our offerings show our willingness to love one another. If our ushers will please come forward.
scripture, and God will heal us. He will take care of us. And we know that God has our, he's our best first aid kit. He's going to take care of us. He'll heal all the hurts in our lives. And in my favorite cookbook, on the second page, it has where to look in the Bible for all of these hurts. So if I forget, when I get scraped in life, when I hit a bump in life, when I just think I can't take another step, and I can't think where to look in the Bible, all I have to do is go to my cookbook. And it can tell me where to look. All right. Think about your first aid kit. Think about, is anybody on the first aid kit at home? Yeah, I bet you do. Some people have them in their cars. It's good to have. But I want you to also have this first aid kit right here. Because that's the best one you've got. Okay, do we have a first aid kit song? Okay, we got some mean boys and girls. We're going to take three rows this morning. So y'all gather around. You can come down here.
Okay. I think for me, I would grab it in my Bible too. Do you know how to spell Bible?
Yeah.
Okay, you got the words to the song. Ready?
To think the same thing when I was a kid. Saw all that pretty stuff up on the communion table, and I thought, man, this church is rich. They've got gold everywhere. You know, another thing that, Miss Mary Jo, you know, another thing that makes hurts feel better is a piece of candy. Okay. I was just trying. This morning I want to talk to you about seeking worshipers. And we're going to look at John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 21 through 34. Hear the reading of God's Word. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers will worship in the spirit and in truth. So let's think about that for just a moment. Jesus has gone to the city of Samaria, and He has met this woman at the well. The disciples have gone into town to buy food, get some different things that they need, and He's having this conversation with the woman. And there's a whole lot of things that we could talk about, many important things about that conversation, but these are the things I want us to look at today. During the midst of this conversation, this woman asked Him, where do we worship? Because she has perceived by her conversation with Him so far that He's a prophet. He's told her everything about herself that there's no way He could have known. And so she believes now that He's a prophet of God. So she starts asking Him this question about worship. She wants to know who's right. Are we right here in Samaria, or are the Jews right? And Jesus never, you know, waters anything down. He never, you know, just washes over it. He just tells the truth as He understands it. And He basically says, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We Jews, we know what we worship. In other words, I mean, how can you say it any clearer? You don't have a clue what you're doing, woman. We know what we're doing down in Jerusalem, but you don't know what you're doing. And do you think maybe she got offended at that? I think so. If she didn't get offended, she was at least highly frustrated. And so she makes a comment. And she says to Him in verse 25, I know that Messiah, the Christ, is coming. When He comes, He will explain everything to us. So she's already perceived that He's a prophet, but then He makes these troubling comments, and she says, well, so much for what you had to say. I'll just wait for the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, He'll explain everything. Jesus had just got finished explaining everything. And she says, I'll just wait for the Messiah. I don't think I like what you had to say. And then He says, I am the Messiah. About that time, the disciples are getting back, and she forgets her water pot. She just leaves it laying there, and she takes off running to tell everybody about this prophet of God, who she now is believing that He's the Messiah. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward Him. And meanwhile, the disciples urged Him, Rabbi, eat something. But He said to them, I have food to eat you know nothing about. And then His disciples said to each other, could someone have brought Him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Now, think about this for a moment. The conversation is about worship and about where is the right place to worship. And Jesus said, there's a time coming and it's here now. But He says, there's a time coming when you won't worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. But you will worship in spirit and in truth. And then He says, the Father is seeking that kind of worshiper. So when we entitle this sermon, Seeking Worshipers, we're talking about what God's doing. God's seeking worshipers. I had a conversation with a friend of mine
this past week and got to spend a little time with him, pastor friend, and he was telling me about his daughter having gotten married, and she was the pianist in their church. She had her own keyboard, really nice keyboard, and was able to lead them in worship, and it was just really apparently a good thing that was going on. But when she got married, it wasn't long after they were married that they got transferred to Mobile, I think it is. And that was quite a few hours away, and all of a sudden they were without their main musician. And really realized, you know, we really don't have a lot of talented, gifted musicians here in the church. And he began to cry out to the Lord and said, Lord, send us worshipers. It wasn't just that he was crying out for musicians. He was crying out for worshipers. Lord, send us worshipers to worship you. And he said he heard the Lord speak to him. Just that still, small voice. And the Lord said, you worship. You worship. Man. Isn't that just like us today? I mean, we're always looking for something bigger and better. We're looking for something that will do it all for us. And what God's looking for is us. He doesn't want, it's not how big the band is or how big the church is. It's not really what's going on, whether it's contemporary or whether it's traditional. It really doesn't matter. It's not about that. He's looking for worshipers. He's looking for people who will make the connection with Him that won't just go through the motions, but that will really cry out to Him and have a heart that seeks for Him. I may have shared this with you before, but there was a man who some years ago, I think this may have been like back in the late 70s, early 80s, his name was Arthur Blessed, and God laid it on his heart to take a cross on his back and carry that cross across America. And so he did that. Took him, I don't know how long it took him, but he went from one coast to the other coast, and all along the way, he would just stop at the times of worship, wherever there was a church that was worshiping, he'd stop and he'd go in. And so he said over the course of his journey, he went in Catholic churches, he went in Presbyterian churches, he went in Lutheran churches, Episcopal and Methodist and non-denominational, every flavor, just about everything you could imagine. He said he'd walked in the doors when it was time to worship because that's where he was at. And he said he never failed in any one of those places that he had any trouble worshiping, because he went into the church with the decision that he was going to be a worshiper. And every church, in every place, he found God. He worshiped God. He said some of the churches were cold. Some of the churches were lukewarm. Some of the churches were on fire. Didn't matter. Because he had made his decision that he wanted God. And so it didn't matter where he was able to worship. Man, if that was our attitude every time when we walked in the doors of the church, what a worship service we'd have. You know, we had some pretty good music here this morning. Wouldn't you agree? Praise God. And praise God for the leadership of the, you know, for that kind of, to have that musicianship and to be able to be led that way. And it does help. All of these wonderful things. The beautiful stained glass windows, the beautiful color of the room, all of these things add and help us in our attempts to worship. But worship is really a matter of our heart before God. Would we come to Him and give Him our all, our best? Are we seeking Him? Do we really want to get in touch with Him? I was thinking about Well, let me just read some of this again. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. You know, someone was sharing with me yesterday, it was last night, I think it was Irene, that was sharing with us about how you can take a canister, and I wish I'd brought one today. That would have been so cool, because it really is good for this. It's a good analogy. But you can take a canister and you can fill it with sand or rice. I guess it is rice. And then you can take a rock for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Actually, I guess the way you do it first is you take the rocks and put them in the bottom and then fill it with rice. And you can put the lid on it. But if you take the lid off and pour it into a canister the same size and put the rice in first and then try to put the rocks that represent the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you can't put the top on. The rice represents everything, all of our interests, all the things that we love to do, all of our involvement. And this is so good, really, because think about it. It's not that to be a worshiper, you need to get rid of all the rice. But if you put God in your life first, those rocks representing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, if you put God in your life first, then all your stuff fits. It's in the right proportion. It's in the place where it needs to be. The problem that we have in our life is that too much of our... We're letting the rice be the first thing we put in our life. All of our interests, all of our things, we're putting that first. And now there's no room for God. Let me say this. Worship is not just about what you do in the service. Worship is everything that you do every day of your life. Wherever you are. So when you go to work in the morning, when you go and you're faithful to get up and go and be there and be a faithful employee, because the scripture tells us that we should be, that we should honor those who are in authority over us, that we should obey our masters. We can apply those things to the business world. They may not be our masters, but they're our bosses in these particular areas. And so when we go to work and we do that faithfully, that's part of our worship. Like, I'm not worshiping, I'm working. Yes, you are. If you're being faithful and you're doing it, and the scripture says, do those things as unto the Lord. When you're being faithful at work, when your boss is mean and cruel, but you're being faithful anyway because you love the Lord, man, that's worship. I want to tell you that's worship. Everything that we do, the scripture says, do it as unto the Lord. So I'm not telling you that you got to lay everything else aside, quit doing everything else. I'm saying God needs to be first place. We need to be true worshipers in everything that we do in our life, whether it's work or whether it's play or whether it's entertaining friends. We need to do it with a wholesome attitude, with an attitude that knowing that we are God's representatives, that we're representing Him in every way, and that we're putting forth that godly approach. That God will even supply those times, whether it's at work or at play or entertaining or whatever it is, that we'll have those opportunities to put input into someone's life, to say something positive, to say something about the Lord, to be that witness. God will provide those opportunities. The point that I'm trying to make is that everything about your day is an opportunity to worship. It's an opportunity to put God first place. Put God in your life first. And let everything else find its proper place. And it will. Everything else will come into line in such amazing ways. We even talk about that when we talk about giving. When we worship with our giving. It's that if we give, then God puts those things together in our life the way they ought to be. He just helps us. He causes it to happen. God starts working on our behalf. There's something about worship. It brings the anointing. That is the wonderful thing about, and praise God for all the talented musicians that we have in our congregation. When King Saul was being plagued with demons, just spirits that were harassing him and causing headaches and things of that nature, David would come and play his instrument, and as he played, the anointing was there. And the demons would flee, and Saul would find relief. We were talking about spiritual warfare last night. We didn't even talk about worship as spiritual warfare. But it is. Everything that we do in faith toward the Lord is an act of worship. It's not just the things that we do when we come in this building. But the more that we see ourselves worshiping every day and in every choice and in every opportunity that presents itself before us, the better worship will be when we come in here. Because we won't just be going through the motions. We won't just be saying the words. I remember when my friend shared that little word with me about how God told him to worship. I remember, I always take things like that and I sort of internalize them. I look at my own life. And I could think back about times on Sundays or Wednesday nights or even in our other, well, either service on Sunday. I thought, yeah, I know there are times where I've just been singing the song. I'm going to have to make a conscious choice to worship. Or I won't be worshiping. So we came in here on Sunday night, since Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night. It was good. It was good. It was good. It wasn't good because the songs were good. They were. It was good for me because I made a conscious choice to worship God. I wasn't just going through the motions. I was worshiping Him in the moment. Sometimes, for some of us, it is the wonderful, beautiful song that wakes us up and all of a sudden we find ourselves worshiping. And we go, oh wow, that was a great moment. It doesn't have to be just a moment. We shouldn't just let the songs wake us up. We should be engaged from the beginning. From the very first moment. Because we come to worship. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 27. Says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean." And I think about that imagery. Whitewashed tombs. Man, you walk into the graveyard and there are just some tombstones that, man, they're just beautiful. They're gorgeous. But you know, they're just decoration for bones. Why? Because we believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When they put my mama in the ground, you know, that's all right, because I know where she is. I know she's dancing with the angels today. She's having a party. She's having the time of her life. Praise God. That gives me joy and comfort. But I know that cemetery is just a place of remembrance. It's not the real deal. The real deal is up in heaven. The real deal is with the Father. The real deal is the spiritual world where she's reigning in life with Jesus. Hallelujah. Whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. Listen. We're not... I don't feel like I'm talking to the Pharisees today or the hypocrites. But let us understand that Scripture tells us to judge ourselves. Because it's very possible for us to fall into the same sins as anyone else, as the world. And so we have to be humble. We have to approach these things in humility so we can learn a lesson from a Scripture like this, to understand that it does apply to our lives. We don't want to be in church and look good, look beautiful, and know that really nothing really happened for us today. At some point we need to make a connection. At some point it's time for us to cry out to God, Lord, I don't want to just go through the motions today. I don't want to come here and just look good. I don't want to live life just looking good to other folks. At work, at play, wherever I am. I want it to be genuine. I want to make a true connection with you and live for you every moment of every day and worship you in the way I work, in the way I play, in the way I enjoy my free time. I want to be a light for you. I want to shine for you. I want to make a difference. And He will help us. 2 Timothy, this scripture I share with you, it's from the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. And we'll look at it much in the same way we did this last one. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now this is a continuous thought. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. There it is. The love of pleasures can become something that's so powerful in our life that it drains us of our spiritual strength, of our zest and our zeal and our commitment to God. So that somehow he winds up taking a back seat and it's the love for everything else that's first place. And he's saying don't let that happen, because if that's happening in any measure in your life, to the same measure that that's happening, then your religion is becoming a form of godliness. Because it just starts out at first is that, I wasn't really into that today. I sang the words, I said the things that we were supposed to say, but nothing really happened today. You know. Wish that preacher would feed us more. you know, we need to be feeding ourselves. If we're putting Him first place, then we're going to be in connection with Him, and we're going to be hearing from Him, and we're going to feel His presence, and it's going to be a strength and a ministry to us, not just on Sunday, but every other day, so that when we come in here, it's just the overflow. It's just the whipped cream on top of the dessert. It's just the good stuff, the cherry on the top. Praise God. this is an opportunity for us to come and celebrate and rejoice and to encourage one another so that we can go out there and be worshipers in the world, in the place where we work, in the place where we live, before the people that we love the most and the people that are loved least and need the love of God so desperately. I'm going to ask our musicians to come this morning, and as they come, I want you to think about how the Holy Spirit may be talking to you during this message and what He may be asking you to do. It's so important that we yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That when we know He's speaking to us, that we obey that. That we follow that prompting. If God's speaking to your heart today, and He's calling you, then listen to what He's saying. If there's someone here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, take that step. Come forward. We'll pray together with you. You can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior just by calling on His name this morning. Just by giving your heart and your life to Him. But it may be that it's time to rededicate your life or answer a call to ministry. I don't know how God's speaking to you this morning, but listen to the Holy Spirit today and follow His leading. He's calling us to make that connection with Him and be those true worshipers. May we answer that call as we all stand and sing. There's something on my heart this morning. That Wednesday night we were studying, we were closing up in the book of James. And as we were reading that last part, we were talking about how the Scripture says that, is anyone sick among you? Then let him ask for the elders to pray for them. Anoint them with oil, lay hands on them and pray for them. And if they do that, and the prayer of faith will heal them. And if they have any sins, they'll be forgiven.
Amen.
And so we did that Wednesday night. And a young lady asked for that prayer and prayed that. But I need that prayer this morning. I've had some knee issues and blood pressure issues, little toenail fungus issues. And I need healing. And so I'm calling on the elders of the church to come up here, if you will, right now, and anoint me with oil and pray for me, if you will. Somebody, who wants to do this? We're fixing to go eat. This is fifth Sunday. We have food down there, and we're going to have a meal together. So for our closing, let's just bow our heads in prayer once again, pray over the meal, and then you can go on down and begin to fellowship together. Father, we thank you for this time together today. We thank you for all that you do in our lives, for your great and precious promises. We call upon those promises. We stand. Lead us, Father, in the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to be your faithful witnesses And Lord, bless this meal today to the nourishment of our bodies. And we thank you for all that brought and prepared for it. And now may we all just come together and fellowship together. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we want you all to come and fellowship together. It doesn't matter. Well, there will be plenty of food. Just come fellowship. Amen. Thank you.